In the Gospel of this morning's Mass, St. Luke tells us, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sun brings warmth. It even brings a bit of joy to our lives, doesn't it? We've had enough of those gloomy, overcast days this fall and winter that you've noticed that. A bit of the chill in the air, and you get a bit more grumpy. You're not able to sense that joy that you do on sunny days. The sun helps you to just make it through a day. And joy on those other days when the sun is hidden might totally leave our hearts and we find ourselves depressed, lethargic, lazy, and angry. But they say, the spiritual writers say, just as the sun is to the physical world, so love, charity that is in the social world. It gives warmth. It gives joy. It makes it easy to deal with a difficult day. Imagine a place where there was no love, that you did not love anyone, and that no one ever loved you in return. There is a place such as this. It is called hell. It is a place where there is absolutely no love. And so, this life without charity would be just that. Literally, a living hell. Our hearts were made by Almighty God with this purpose in mind, to love and to be the recipient of another's love. And above all, to love God and to be loved by Him. And that thought of losing God's friendship, how often have we had it? The fear that we have committed a sin so severe that along with it we lose God's friendship. How saddened we become. But we are about to celebrate God's great mystery of charity. And so I wish to consider, although we often speak about it here at St. Hugh's, I wish to consider today the love, or more theologically, charity that God shows us. What is man, O God, the psalm says, that thou art so mindful of him? Oftentimes, we ourselves, we find it very difficult because of all of our miseries, our sins, even our mortal sins, to believe that God actually does love us. We find it so hard to believe. And this is because seeing our sins, we have trouble loving ourselves. We are unlovable in our own eyes. And we question how God, who is so infinite in every perfection, could love us. If you have sanctifying grace, however, then you are a friend of God, loved by God. And if you do not have it, this grace, God has made it so easy for you to attain it. But this being said, let us hear sacred scripture. Isaiah, who is so often quoted in this season of Advent, he says to us, "Fear not, I have redeemed thee, thou art mine." Jeremiah, another Old Testament prophet, said, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Contemplate that one. A love that has existed from all eternity, just as God has existed from all eternity. And St. John says, or rather, St. John quotes our Lord as saying, "As the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you." And throughout sacred scripture, he gives all sorts of pictures that paint his love for us. That hen who gathers her chickens together to protect them, to shield them from harm. And then we see how he received Magdalene, who was just full of sins, and how lovingly he received her back as soon as she fell at his feet. And this love, this charity which God bears us, we must never think that it is inactive, but it rather proves itself in deeds. He goes far above and beyond what we might expect from him. We think of our creation. These are things we should contemplate. The fact that he created you personally. It was done simply because he was perfectly happy by himself, but he wanted to share his happiness with you for all eternity. That is why he made you. That is why you are here. The fact that he preserves you in your life. We're so often tempted to think that it's all due to our hard work and industry that we're alive. Well, not in reality. Yes, we must do our part, but in the end, God can take away all of our hard work. He can take away our ability to work, and we're left with nothing. God cooperates in every single one of our actions. If he did not, we would cease to exist. And we could do absolutely nothing. But the fact that he gives you a new day means that he has you in mind, that he does love you, and has given you this day to serve him, to gain merit so that you might be even happier in heaven. He has given the real presence so that we would not be orphans. He waits here day in and day out. And then there is, of course, the abasement, the humiliation that he took upon himself in the incarnation. St. Augustine said that Christ came on earth that men might know how much God loves them. And how immense is this love? So great, one author says, that our Lord abandons himself to all the pains of this life, not excluding afterwards the scourges and the thorns and the mockery and insults, and finally, the very death on the cross. And authors tell us, too, that our Lord could have chosen any means to redeem us. He could have said a prayer. He could have shed one tear. He had any possibility at his disposal, and yet he chose the passion that he endured. And St. John Chrysostom says about that, "What was sufficient for redemption was not sufficient for love." And so, should we ever doubt the love of our God, we have only to look at the crib or to the cross. Those two things speak to us of his charity towards us. And this charity is so ardent, so intense, as almost to crush our very hearts. The third point is this, that our Lord's love for us is a very personal love. Never forget it. Had you been the only one, these are things you read about in just about every spiritual book, but had you been the only one alive, or had you been the only one who had ever committed a sin, and thus the only one in need of redemption, God, rather than turning his back on you, would still have undergone all that he endured for the human race, for you. And see how personal God's love is in the fact that he has pursued you all of your life. No one knows your past better than you do. What sins had been committed all those years that you were outside the church and that you were not following the commandments of God, you were just enjoying yourself and pleasure. How God, the Good Shepherd, pursued you out of the billions of people that live now. He saw that you were astray, and he pursued you until he brought you back rejoicing. How did he pursue you? Oftentimes he finds you at the point of a crisis in your life. That's a grace of God trying to reel you in, the big fish, so to speak. Perhaps it's the weight of your sins that burden your conscience that makes you want to convert. Or maybe it's the fact that you're becoming elderly and realize it's time to start thinking about death. But these are the ways in which God pursues us and helps us to arrive at the beatific vision. But to conclude, whenever we hear this love, this word love, we sort of cringe, I think, because the Novus Ordo has so cheapened this word that it is nothing more than something which is either sentimental or carnal or the love of acceptance. I accept you the way you are without ever having to change what offends my God. And love is cheapened, but it is not so in the true sense. This love was a love of sacrifice on God's part, and for us, it calls for a return of love. St. Paul said that the charity of Christ urges us, it presses us on. So, what do we draw from this? That none of us must ever be content to just continue living our lives as we are at this present moment. We never rest spiritually. We think that we can stay at a certain point in the spiritual life. That is not true. St. Thomas says that just as if you threw a rock into the air, it reaches a certain point, but then it comes back down. Because it's no longer going forward. In the spiritual life, if you are not moving forward, by necessity, you are falling backwards. And so the love of Christ must urge us always to move forward, overcoming our vices and our sins, cultivating those virtues. And therefore, this Christmas season, what can we do to begin this process? The first prayer is the answer to everything. Pray for a greater and more intense love of God. Particularly pray the rosary for that intention. God will grant it. He will most certainly grant it. Secondly, cultivate all those things which will help you grow in love of God. Spiritual reading, the sacraments, confession. Even if you can't stay for Mass, come to confession if you can make it. Holiness, remember, is not about being busy. It's about serving God, loving Him, not just running around. Thirdly, we should contemplate often to what extent God's love has led Him, and realize that in this great mystery, which we're about to celebrate this week, that the love, we should realize the love of God in this mystery and pray for that grace to love this little infant with great intensity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.